In recent months, Lauren has traveled to all of the staff conferences or R&RD conferences that we've had. He's attended the RD conference in England and also in the Pacific areas and some staff conferences here in the United States in each of the three divisions. And tonight he plans to give sort of a state of the movement or state of the navigators message. It'll summarize how he sees the navigator work today.
Tonight, as Rod indicated, I'd like to give you a report on the navigator work as I see it at this time. And I'd like to take a key verse, not a key verse, I mean a theme scripture that I'd just like to repeat a couple of times through this little report. And that's Psalm 116, 1 and 2. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. We felt that God laid on our hearts a couple years ago to take as an aim for the navigators for the 70s to so develop a foundation in personnel and financial and prayer support that we might be able to carry this ministry into every nation of the world in the 80s. And along with that aim, we have set certain goals for the 70s. And we took those and broke them down into three-year goals. Well, the first 3 years will be up here very shortly. So in December, we'll be having about a 10-day divisional directors conference here, at which time we will be evaluating the progress toward those goals for the first 3 years of the 70s. So a careful evaluation of the state of the navigators really cannot be given until after December. So what you're going to get tonight are my impressions. And they may not be all that well thought through. I haven't tried to make it that thorough. But these are impressions from my point of view. As Rod pointed out, over the last 6 months, I have met with the regional directors of all five divisions. I have attended three U.S. staff conferences. And so I've gotten a little feel of what's going on. Just as a little sideline, the U.S. will have a united, combined staff conference in January next year down at the Southern Baptist Conference Grounds in Glorieta, New Mexico. And we're expecting somewhere between 500 and 800 at the conference for that week. So things are growing. Seems like every time I turn around, it's grown out on us somewhere. I would say that at each one of the five RD meetings that I attended, I came away with other thoughts, but this was one. This work has grown more than I realized. There is more going on than I know. Jack Mayhall, for instance, just gave me a little report on something that happened in sort of a backstroke ministry that he and Carol have there in Chicago. They put on a banquet for couples at which George Sanchez spoke. 300 were there, 36 professed to receive Christ at the invitation, and 35 couples signed up for a couples Bible study. I mean, that's just one little thing that's going on that I had no idea about, and I'm sure that there are dozens more. In fact, I'm wondering if there isn't some way I could get some news hand or news sleuth to begin to gather up these stories for us so we can pass out more of this information to the staff. And if I'm surprised at what's going on, and I get around more than, well, not more than, as much as most, why, I can't speak for Jim Downing and George Sanchez, whether it's more than. But to know if it's, I don't know all that's going on, and I'm constantly surprised, I'm certain part of this, most of the staff would be surprised also. And maybe in this report I can give you some of those things. But my impressions, first of all, as to the strengths as I see them in the navigator work today. And number one on the top of the list, the greatest strength by far, is a dedicated, growing staff who knows what they're about. They know where they're headed. I remember a few years ago when Bob Foster was with us on the staff, he's still on the board of directors, but he was the U.S. director, and he made a trip out to one area, and it seemed like every time he got to the area, he and this area representative would be taking a ride in the car, and some point in the conversation, this fellow would say, "Well, Bob, would you go through that once more? Now, what is it that we're trying to do?" And I tell you one thing, anywhere I go in the Navigator work today, there's no one asking that question. They may not like the numbers game with all the reports and statistics on disciples and disciple makers, but I know one thing for sure. They do know what the Navigators are after. It has clarified that point. Not only do they know, our staff know what they're doing, I agree with the missionary from another organization who told us he traveled throughout the entire Orient, met most of our staff out there. He'd met Navigator staff in other parts of the world, and he said to me, "I have never met a lazy Navigator." And Walt and I made a trip around some of the U.S. areas, and I think, as far as I can think, there was one guy that we felt that was just sort of playing around with it, and he knows better now. We just don't have lazy navigators. And I mean, they are pounding the pavement. I spoke recently to a board of directors of another organization, and they said to me, "Well, how do you keep your people motivated?" I said, "I never give that any thought. I can't tell you." I said, "They're so motivated that one of the greatest problems we have is to slow them down a bit." So he came back again, "Well, how did you get them motivated like that?" I said, I never get anybody motivated. I never think about motivating. And so I was a complete blank. We have a motivated staff. But we haven't motivated them. I believe God has motivated them. And I agree that we just don't have lazy navigators. And another thing, we had hoped that in the next 5 years we'd be able to double our staff of representatives. And it looks like we're going to clearly double our staff in the next 3 years instead of five. And one reason for that is, I believe, is our days of prayer. We have prayed, remember, for potential area representatives by name around the world. And God says he gives us laborers an answer to prayer. "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live." Also, I think another strength in the Navigator work to do is a basic know-how. Knowing how to go about doing the job, particularly as it relates to collegiate and the servicemen's ministries. One of the questions that I ask at these regional directors' conferences is this: what collegiate work, or what military work, if you have both in your region, would you say is the outstanding example that you could point to and say, "Now that is what is an area collegiate work ought to look like"? Or here is what a military work ought to look like. And anybody else is starting a collegiate work or a military work, they could go to that town, look at that or that city, and say, "That's what we're after." And we have quite a list of those prototypes, those examples. Over in England, of course, a prototype for England as well as Europe for some time has been Loughborough. Holland, it would be Delft. Scandinavia, Oslo. The ministry in Kobe, Japan, is becoming that kind of a ministry. Then when I think of Paul Yu, Gert Dernenbaal, Rob Powery Smith, I think to myself, you cannot let them down. Proverbs says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." And I suppose that the Singapore, as far as any city is concerned, that is something else. Walt and I were out there, and they had a meeting of the ministry teams, the gang, and 300 of them jammed into that church. I guess they had it. They kept the rest of the people away, at least so they told me. They just, just the few came. And with a population of only 2 million and a small Christian population, that's making some kind of an impact out there in more ways than one. I'll mention that a little bit later. Curitiba in Brazil. We have many in the U.S. But I think that's a significant thing, the know-how. And if you don't know how, there are places to go and learn how. Then there's the training center idea. I think an outstanding example of this is San Antonio with Bob Lewis, where potential representatives are brought in to this training area. And there, in this kind of a fellowship, gives the opportunity for that person to prove to the navigator's satisfaction that he can do the work of the navigators. And if he can't, he's in the kind of environment where it won't look too bad if he can't. So he won't have a lifetime of glaring failure to look at. So that's a good setup. Then after he's been in this training area for a while, then he goes out to his contact point. And that's not so much to prove it to us, but sort of prove it to himself that he can do it. We already believe it, and he just has to have the chance to demonstrate it to himself on his own. The training center idea. Another area of strength today, I think, is a matter of finances. I remember in 1970 when we set as our goal that we felt we would need a 25% per year increase in gift income. That looked pretty big. And if I'm not mistaken, I didn't double check today to make sure, but I believe that in 1971 we hit 25% right on the nose of gift income increase over 1970. And when you talk about finances, and there's quite a bit of money involved, I like to say once again that that is the answer to prayer to many a person. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. I think another area in which there's a strength has to do with what we call the navigator sending countries. That is, countries that are raising up, winning to Christ, developing as disciples and disciple makers, and training to become area representatives who from that country go out as navigator missionaries to other parts of the world. And this is a key to our strategy for the 80s, that we can have 18 countries like this outside of the U.S., making 19 navigator representative sending countries by 1980. That will give us an immense flexibility in the assignment of personnel around the world to sensitive spots especially. They don't take Americans, they'll take Canadians. They won't take Canadians, maybe they'll take Japanese. Won't take Japanese, well, Chinese or New Zealanders or Africans or Dutchmen or whatever. In fact, our personnel management is going to become so complicated, I don't know how we're going to keep up with it. But we'll worry about that later. But this year, England has already qualified. Well, in fact, last year, as a sending country, as did Singapore. Canada will probably qualify by the year end as a sending country. In 73, they expect that the Netherlands, Sweden, Australia, and New Zealand will qualify as sending countries. And in 74, Lebanon and Korea. See, that would make by 74, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Almost, I think Australia and New Zealand is combined, but almost half of our goal for the 70s in sending countries will be met by the end of 74. Maybe we can exceed that by half a dozen. Wouldn't that be great? And here again, that's answer to prayer. Psalm 116, 1 and 2, do you know what that says? It says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. How many of you have memorized that verse before tonight? Well, okay, very few. The rest of you should have it before the evening is over. A few other items. For instance, the strengthening of our girls' work. This has been something that's on my mind since last I brought a talk last year at a Glen Eyrie night on Help These Women. And in that talk, I said I felt we needed 50 girls workers, besides about 1,200 that we would need for secretaries and so on through the 80s. Well, earlier this year, Millie chaired a meeting of about, six or seven of our girls workers from around the country. And they put names on a board of 39 potential girls workers. And I was elated. I've sent this news around to the divisional directors. They got with their RDs, and the Northern Division has a list of 36 potential girls workers all by itself. So the goal that seemed a little big a year ago seems a little small right now. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. And we've prayed about this, haven't we? We've asked God for it, and he's doing it. Something else that's been on our minds, as you know, is the research and development on new Bible study scripture memory materials helps. Here in the U.S. last year, I think we sold about $300,000 worth of Bible study and scripture memory helps. And we believe we owe it to God, we owe it to our people, we owe it to our friends and to ourselves to keep those updated, improved. Some dropped, new ones created. And we have a committee now chaired by Russ Korth and some of the younger fellows coming up in the work who've already met for a week and done a great job in laying out guidelines for this. We've got to be meeting from 4 to 6 weeks this summer working on some of these materials. And they, in turn, will keep Gordon Adams busy producing them and getting them out. I'm very excited about this. I think we have it off dead center and moving. And I'm looking forward to the day when each country around the world, they'll be big enough, have enough personnel that they can be all creating their own tools, either adapting to their own needs or creating new ones. Then what we need to do is figure out a means whereby the Navigators International can all benefit from the brains and the creativity of all of our staff around the world. We'll be all the better for it. Another, as I look through my notes today, I notice the report from the trainees that went into Eastern Europe last summer. And they were struck with the ease by which they, foreigners and strangers, could engage people in conversation concerning the gospel. And that is an exciting thing when you think that the Fishers, Dick and Marge, will be going into Yugoslavia this summer. And our first direct representatives going into Yugoslavia, they'll go as students, but not missionaries, but they'll be there. Who cares about the title? Somebody was traveling with me, and you know, every country you go to, you fill out a landing card. And on this last trip, I just used where I'm a lecturer. Well, I wouldn't say, missionary? Well, I guess, but I'm a lecturer. That's what I went there to do, to lecture. Whatever title you need to get the job done that's honest, you use that. Also, they tell me that great openness to evangelism in East Africa is quite an outstanding opportunity that our gang has over in the division that we call EMMA. Last fall, when I sat in the EMMA RD meeting and heard Rob Smith say that they had 50 potential area reps in Britain, you know, I just sort of floated about 6 inches off the chair and wanted to know when they were getting into contact points. Well, we only had maybe 8 or 10 of them. I said, what about the rest of them? Well, we just don't have the people to train them. So we got busy and came back to the States and said, we've got to add another PAR trainer over there in Britain. And so the Southern Division got with it, and they've got a guy going over there, a great guy, to train potential area representatives and show you how the work is growing, even though it's still kind of small, I'm not sure I have met this fellow before until last week at the Southern Division Staff Conference. In fact, I even want to call him by the wrong name. I want to say Doug Smith. It's Doug Moore, right? And, yeah, that's kind of exciting. Another item, in both Singapore and New Zealand, these are proving to be very, very interesting ministries because both are small countries and the navigator work is getting big enough to cause some stir. And we're running into our problems. We're having some difficulties in Singapore as far as the church is concerned. I can understand where it says that, and I think there's one church that 40 young people left that particular church. I can understand why they might have some difficulties. I'm not sure why they left, but the point is that Warren and Dave are doing some work on the matter of relationship to a church, because you can no longer hide. And in New Zealand, where we can very shortly, if we haven't already, have a representative at every major college campus, and where we have two people full-time in a layman's ministry, there too we're going to be running into the problems of relationships that we're going to run into later on in other countries as our work grows. And so these are experiments down there in these two places to see how we're going to resolve those problems and be prototypes for the future. Well, that's a very exciting thing to watch also. Psalm 116, 1 and 2 says what? I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. And the reference again? Good, we've got the reference down very well. Now I would like to point out some major areas that we need to work on in the navigators. These are major areas. And all of them are being worked on now, really. But these are five areas. First of all, has to do with disciple makers. As a generality, I would say that we have a general weakness in the area of developing disciple makers. We're a little bit behind there. Now that's the very heart of our work, a disciple maker. What is a navigator? A navigator is a disciple maker. There's an equal sign there. Navigator equals disciple maker. And if we're weak there, it's going to hurt us. So we've got to work on this area of disciple makers. One thing it will do, naturally, if you don't have disciple makers, we aren't going to have disciples. Unless the disciples are being made by a relative few. But the end result that Jesus told us to have was disciples. Therefore, we have to increase the disciple makers. Furthermore, unless we strengthen this area of disciple makers, later on it's going to curtail our growth in the areas of potential area reps and representatives and girls workers. And furthermore, unless this disciple maker area moves more rapidly, it's going to stall the movement that we've been praying about and working toward, and that I want to say a little bit more about in just a moment. Because our movement has to do with disciple makers in every nation of the world. So we're going to have to focus on this for a little while. And I just have a few suggestions here, fine with them. First, to remember that every navigator should be working at disciple making. A navigator is a disciple maker. Secondly, to every area representative to remember that his first job is to develop disciple makers. That is the prime job of an area representative, is to develop disciple makers. And thirdly, that we focus some days of prayer specifically on the subject of disciple makers. And I expect to be setting in the next couple of months out ahead there a day of prayer for all the navigators like we've done before worldwide to focus on this particular area of disciple makers. Fourth, I hope that we can continue what's already being done, but we'll continue more of the how-to seminars in smaller and larger groups to share with how to go about doing this, including some for us for here at headquarters and the Glen Eyrie staff. I think we can use some how-to seminars in this concept of disciple-making. And then it may well be that we should change our goal from disciple-makers produced to disciple-makers tied in or involved. And that might help set our direction in that a little bit stronger. So that's the first area that we need to be strengthened in, the area of disciple-makers. Second, a layman's ministry. Now, in the Navigators, a layman is any non-student, non-serviceman, adult. Our layman's ministry is something that we've been talking about, doing something here and there for quite some time. It is something that we are already committed to do. We are committed to a layman's ministry, in addition to the students and the military. We already have 8 or 10 staff people committed full-time to it. There's Denny Repko and Ed Rice over in England. Here in the States, there's Ron Ortley and what he's doing in Denver, which incidentally to me is the most hopeful thing I have seen about an approach to people through the church. I have to admit, I'd sort of given up on that idea. Thought maybe we'd have to do it other ways, but that is a very hopeful thing. Then there's Alvin Smith's ministry out in Los Angeles, which is a little different area. There's Eric Wilson in New Zealand, and also John Crawford in New Zealand. Hugh Harris is going into this full-time in Tokyo. And there's some talk about some people in the Southern Division giving full-time to this, so it's 8 or 10 already. Then we have a staff of laymen, non-staff laymen, who consider themselves navigators and consider themselves as much spearheads to this layman's movement as any staff person. And we had some of them together here at Glen Eyrie, 8 of them, earlier this spring. And they met on a weekend with Bob Foster as their chairman. And they recommended that we openly commit ourselves to a layman's ministry, which we've already done. And secondly, that I appoint a coordinator for the layman's ministry to help bring it together and give it direction and to stimulate it. And I am planning on appointing a coordinator for the layman's ministry, for the worldwide ministry of the Navigators. And if I can get a couple hats off of Walt Hendrickson, on the Rod, who in turn gets a hat or two on somebody else, administrative hat, but it might well be that about 3-4 weeks from now that we'll attach this job to Walt Hendrickson as the coordinator for the layman's ministry. And if we can do this, we'll be about 2 years ahead already. God has blessed Walt in a wonderful way already in the layman's ministry. And the third thing we're doing in the relative of the layman's ministry is developing some guidelines for it. We are not free just to do anything that happens to come to our minds in the Navigators. God has given us a goal, an objective. And one thing the layman's work must do, it must make disciples and develop disciple makers and an occasional potential area representative. That's the first thing. Secondly, I think the layman's work must begin with the alumni of our collegiate and servicemen's work, where we already have a tremendous investment. And in some ways, we have not, some ways, in a major way, we have not finished our job with a collegiate or a service person, the single ones especially, because we have not gone on ahead and shown them how to be disciple makers as businessmen. Husbands, fathers, members of a church. We've been able to do it while they've given us almost all of their free time on the campus. But then they graduate, they get into a whole new situation in life, and it's sort of all or nothing. And we've got to teach them how to do this in that context of life. And when we get that going, I think we're going to have the beginnings of a movement. Yeah, I really do. Then things are really going to begin to pop. Another thing about the layman's movement, if they're married, it's to be the couples. Both. Husband and wife. Another thing about it is that it's any age as long as they're responsive. You know, I used to hear how the older they get, the more set in their ways. And there's a lot of truth to that. But you know, I have found guys in their 20s a lot more set in their ways and a lot more positive that they know the only way to do it than guys in their 40s or 50s who have been battered around, who also were certain when they were in their 20s and have skinned their nose a few times and have they're not quite as certain. And they are open. And there are many people that are open. And what about Psalm 92:14? They still bring forth fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. And one of the greatest fulfillments of that verse sits right over my left here, Miss Skinner. Psalm 92:14. Man, I hope that when I'm 2 years older than I am now that I have the zip. She's got it. 80. Another matter about the layman's work, we must help them and not they us. The layman's ministry is not another addition onto the navigator work that they're helping us get our job done. But it has to point the other direction. That is to help them start where they are as businessmen, fathers, church members, as wives, mothers, with what they have. That's an important distinction. Because you may have a campus ministry, you have a little handful, a little team, they help you in your ministry. Nothing wrong with that. But there's a sense in which the layman's work, it's got to go the other direction. I remember Doug Sparks told me a few years ago about what happens sometimes. I may get a contact and I'm helping this person. If I'm not careful, I bring him in to my circle of friends. He loses out on his circle of friends, and he loses them by neglect, and we have narrowed our fields of contact. But what I must do is to help that layman in the context of where he lives and works, so that we have ever-widening in circles of contact. And really, there's no end to it. There's just no end to it. Someone was saying to me, in fact, the businessman said, if we really get a layman's work rolling, we'll have to be careful. One danger is that the tail could wag the dog. And I mentioned this at the Southern Division Staff Conference, and one person came up to me afterwards and said, well, it might become the dog. And it might. But we want to help them where they are, with what they have, and do what they can. If they can't give us 4 nights a week, okay, we'll take 1 night a week. If they can't give us 1 night a week, we'll take one every other week. If they can't give us that much, we'll probably look for somebody else. What are we going to help them in? I think Romans 15:14 might be a pretty good key verse on the layman's ministry. Paul wrote not to seminary students, not to full-time staff people, but to ordinary, everyday lay Christians in Rome who worked at a secular occupation for a living. And he said, I myself am satisfied about you, my brethren, that you lay Christians there, you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. Three areas. Full of goodness. I think that means character. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Secondly, to help them in the areas of knowledge. To know God through Christ. That's first of all. To know the Scriptures. And to know people. And then skills. He says, able to instruct one another. To help them to have certain skills in evangelism, in follow-up, and especially in training others to reproduce. Another guideline, we don't want every navigator staff person now to start having a lay ministry. If there's a young area rep or contact point who now is out on a collegiate ministry and he's knocking on the dorms, walking up and down the hallways, knocking on doors, stay there. Don't get involved in the lay ministry unless your RD or your divisional director think you can. Because while you're young, while you can move around unnoticed, that's the time for you to stay on the base or on the campus. And someone said to me the other day, one of the kids, you know, you're getting older, Dad. And I said, well, I can't help it. The longer I live, the older I get. That's just sort of a principle that's there. And the time will come. You're going to get older. Your kids will get older. You will raise a family. And you'll be in a better position to help laymen then than you are now. Whereas now you're in a better position to move around freely on that campus or on that base. I told some of you about how just a few years ago, I thought maybe I'd have a ministry here locally at Fort Carson, so I went out with the guys one night. And we are in the barracks, and they've been going there for 7 months, and that night we got kicked out. Because they wonder who this old boy was with the gray hair. Is he an officer in civilian clothes? Is he an insurance salesman? Is he a car salesman? What is it? They came to investigate. But otherwise, up till I went along, they've been moving in and out of the barracks with no one paying any attention. So I say not every navigator staff person should give his time to the layman's ministry. But the time will come. You can increasingly do so. And it's going to take a higher quality, more experienced person to lead in the layman's ministry, because it's more complex. You have to relate it to a family, to a job, and to a church. Well, the layman's ministry, I get excited about that. There's some other people excited about it too. That's the second major area to strengthen. The third is, we need to broaden our financial base. While we are very grateful we have kept up with what our goal should be, this work is growing. In the U.S., for instance, we've got to maintain a growing work, and the fellows think that by the end of this decade, we should have a representative on every campus in the country, or at least a contact point. We have our missionaries, and still 50% will be going out, so we've got the missionaries now out to continue to support, plus new ones to go. Then we have this project on the International Headquarters Office Building and Glen Eyrie Capital Improvements. So that's going to need increased money. Overseas, Scotty says that the greatest need out in the Pacific area navigators is to build an independent financial base commensurate with the number of staff being produced. In Great Britain, that's a great need right now, to broaden the base of financial support. Just this year, Rod, who is the man who has a touch of God on his life for fundraising and has through the years, spent time counseling the fellows in New Zealand and Australia and also in Great Britain on this subject. And, of course, is heading up our U.S. fund drive. Then there are other areas of finance raising, such as our staff benefits program with John Watts and Jim Downing. That's finances. We have to broaden the base there. The fourth major area needing work on is the further development of our worldwide strategy. And by strategy, I mean where we're going to put people next, the allocation of personnel. One of my jobs is I make the decisions as to where we're going to allocate personnel. But right now, those decisions are out to the limits of our knowledge. Now we are ready for a truly global strategy so that we can have on a world map all the manpower pools in the world and look at them and decide if it's China or it's Russia or it's India or wherever, how we're going to get there and where we're going to go first. A few years ago, to have that information would have been a purely academic exercise. In other words, it would have been nice to have, but we didn't need it. We are at the point now where we've got to have it. And one of the reasons for asking Scotty to move back to Colorado Springs and run his division from here instead of out in Malaysia is that I needed the person that has the most background on the world missionary situation that I could get, and that's Waldron Scott. And so he is heading up this project to get the information we need to develop our worldwide strategy, and he's being assisted by Marv Smith in that, at least for the rest of the year. And just as a little sideline, this idea of having the PAN headquarters in Colorado Springs is also an experiment that down the road we may find it necessary to have the EMMA headquarters in Colorado Springs or wherever the international office might be at that time. The same for South America, because things move so rapidly that we have to keep our heads together more than we're able to now. So we'll see how that experiment works. There are pros and cons to that. The fifth major area, then, and particularly for 73, has to do with leadership. Since structure follows strategy, we get our strategy further refined. We'll then better know how we need to be organized around the world. Then we're going to take another look at our top leadership, its distribution, our second-level leadership, its selection, training, and placement. Because we are headed towards a truly multinational organization. We started out as a work in the U.S. Then we simply send representatives overseas that were Americans overseas, an extension of the U.S. work. You could call it international, but it wasn't. It was just an extension of the U.S. work. Then as non-Americans, nationals began to come into the picture, it began to be international. But now, nationals are taking over the leadership in four countries already, and will be in others, and we'll have a truly multinational organization with many semi-autonomous national units. Britain already has its own board of directors, as do several other countries. How are we going to keep a worldwide organization of that kind moving together, even keep it together, say nothing about moving together? I don't know of any way to do it by owning the property or signing doctrinal statements. It's going to revolve around the closeness of the relationships of its leadership, our spiritual relationships, and they've got to be worked on. That is a key major area. 18 sending countries. You see, when any one of those countries can say, well, we've got our people, we're raising up staff, we have a ministry, we have the money, we don't need the rest of you. And so we've got to keep our hearts together. The key will be leadership. Well, what does all this do to you? Well, I don't know, maybe one thing, it wearies you, tires you. I remember we were talking a couple years ago at a divisional directors conference how it was growing, and it was a good stretching experience. And one of the fellows, he just sort of blurted out what I guess the others of us were thinking. He said, I get tired of being stretched. And I think sometimes we think of these ideas and what's going to happen. We say, oh, no, not that it isn't a good idea, but it's going to be more responsibility for me. I get tired of being stretched. Well, I tell you what it does to me. Fills me with gratitude and praise to God. That's number one. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice in my supplications, and because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. It should also humble us and make us want to give the glory to God, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this. and the Holy One of Israel hath created it, Isaiah 41:20. Nobody could organize it. Nobody could make it go by numbers or power or shrewdness or anything else. And certainly, I'm as barren as anybody. I can't claim the credit. It's God. That's all. And it is true, there is no limit to the success if you don't care who gets the glory. Another thing, it should make us want to pray more. It does me. It makes me want to pray more. And I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Because he's heard me before, then I'm encouraged to keep on asking him, and I want to ask him all the more. Because I see he is a God that does answer prayer. Just let me ask you just right now. Could you think of any major answers to prayer you've gotten in the last month or two? Or do we just say prayers? I know one of my goals for this year has to do with Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and everything by prayer and supplication, to learn to pray about everything. But then I tied in with that 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Not only ask him about it, but actually get answers. Do you get answers? Or just say prayers? We ought to be getting answers, shouldn't we? O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. We ought to pray. Another thing it does for me, it makes me love my co-laborers more. I don't know, maybe I'm getting more sentimental in my middle years. But a strange phenomenon is growing on me. Whenever I travel, and I don't like to be away from home, but I go to an RD conference, like in Penang, and I say goodbye to the guys, I have just a little tinge of sadness. I hate to leave them. I stop in Japan, and I actually have to work at going around and shake hands to everybody, because I don't like to say goodbye to them. In fact, I don't say goodbye. I would say, see you later, or something like that. With a little tinge of sadness. Whether it's the Southern Division Staff Conference, time comes to leave, I kind of hate to leave them. It's like leaving your family. And one of the verses that has registered my own heart this spring is John 13:1. When Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them to the end. What them? Just people in general? No, those 12 in particular. Because it says, and during supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus got up, laid aside his garments, put a towel around him, and went around and washed the feet of those fellows. And do you remember what they'd been doing? Luke says they'd been bickering. They had two problems around the table. One, who's the lowest? Who's this cur that's going to betray the Lord? And it says in Luke there was also a conflict among them. Which of them was the greatest? They were bickering. But those bickering guys will run off at the mouth Peter, doubting Thomas, betrayer Judas. Jesus loved all of them to the end. I get upset with some of the guys. They get upset with me. I get irritated. They probably get irritated. And anybody that thinks we've got some yes men in the Navigators have not been in a divisional directors conference or even stood under the third floor of the castle and heard it from down there. But you know, deep in my own soul, I believe that God has given us a team, not only divisional directors, but regional directors and a staff in answer to prayer. and deep in my own soul, when I'm on my deathbed, I like to be able just to say, well, having loved my own that were in the world, I loved them to the end. And I'm going to stick with them. That's my team. They're the ones God has given me out of all the world. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Okay, so they boo-boo, so have I. So they irritated me, so did I them. So there were conflicts as to who was the lowest, who was the highest. So there was this, that, and the other. So what? Having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them to the end. That's what it makes me want to do. And whenever I think about turning in that letter of resignation, which I do a little less than I did a few years ago, it used to be once a month, about once a quarter now. You know what I think of? I think of Hugh Harris. Or I think of Jim North. Or I think of the whites out in Africa. What a chicken thing for me to do, to think about a resignation with a gang like that. And usually when I come around to think about it, it's usually prompted by self-pity anyway, which is a reprehensible sin to start with. Makes me want to love my co-laborers more, and I do. And then finally, to be a better disciple. Just a better follower of Jesus Christ. And I'd sure like to be more effective in being a disciple maker. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. May that be true for all of us. Let's have prayer, shall we? Our Father, tonight we are grateful that because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit, that our names are written in heaven. And whenever that day comes, the life is over for us, it'll be a simple transfer from here to there, into the glories of heaven, the tremendous experience of seeing you face to face. In the meantime, Lord, you've left us here to serve you. As you said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. We want to be set apart, to be clean, effective vessels that you can use and that bring honor and glory to you and that make a difference in the lives of people in this world. We thank you for this particular work to which we've been called. One little part of your vineyard, but it's our part. And we thank you for it. We rejoice in it. And Lord, would you keep our hearts united in the battle? Help us to be fighting the right battles, sin and Satan, and not with one another. Thank you for all the advances, for the progress, for the growth. Lord, we give all the glory to you. And for the needs and for the problems, we turn them all over to you and acknowledge you as the Lord of the harvest and as our Lord. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.